Now, as we talked about yesterday, on Tuesday, a plunge in small-cap stocks listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange wiped out over $6 billion US in market value from 17 companies on Hong Kong's main board and the growth enterprise market. The firms plunged by more than 40%, in some cases, more than 90%. Things didn't improve yesterday either. The growth enterprise market index fell to a record low. Now, followers of Hong Kong activist shareholder and investor David Webb won't have been surprised. 6 weeks ago on his blog, website.com, he named 50 companies with dubious accounting and disclosure practices and a tangled web of cross shareholdings in each other that he said he wouldn't own. He labelled them the Enigma Network. And I'm pleased to say that joining me now on Money Talk is David Webb. Morning, David.
Good morning, Peter.
Now, on your blog, you provide quite a complex chart of these 50 companies that make up your Enigma Network. Can you explain a little bit about what links these companies together and how you compiled this list of companies?
Yes, well, that's as many as I could fit on the chart. The chart shows the cross shareholdings between them, but there are other connections. There are overlapping directorships, and there is a pattern of previous corporate transactions between them, such as asset swaps for shares or for cash. That's what connects them all together. It was a bit of a surprise when I got off a plane on Tuesday lunchtime and turned my phone on and saw that the whole lot of them had crashed, basically.
Have you any idea why suddenly now? Because you warned about this 6 weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I warned about the network of stocks not to own. Clearly, a lot of them were bubbles, and I said so at the time. But the reasons we don't yet know. It might become a little bit clearer tomorrow morning after we see the settlements of transactions that took place on Tuesday as to where the stock moved to during that sort of very loud sell-off. It could have been a margin call. It could have been a decision by the people behind the network to just dump and run. Mm. Or it could be that the SFC is putting pressure on the brokers in the network. There's about a dozen brokers owned by these listed companies, which may have been lending against the stocks, and perhaps they're being asked how much liquid capital they've got and how much margin they've been lending against those shares. Or it could be that the SFC is considering taking more substantial action against the listed companies themselves following the suspension of one of them a few weeks ago, which is called Lorado. Those are the possible scenarios that occur to me. But I think that the bigger question that comes out of this is a clear reminder that we have a failure of financial regulation in Hong Kong. These problems have been allowed to fester for many years by the for-profit regulator, the Stock Exchange, which simply shouldn't be in that business. The regulatory function needs to be taken away from them and placed with the SFC, which already regulates the takeovers code. Now, we're still waiting for an outcome to the consultation that ended in November last year on exactly what they're going to do about the listing regulatory structure, and that's something that the SFC needs to get on with now that they know who the financial secretary will be next year.
But we do have regulations already in place, don't we, which should have prevented this. I mean, for example, if you own a substantial interest in another company, you're supposed to disclose
only above
that.
The 5% threshold, and a lot of them are kept deliberately below that level. But when you sum them all up, you see very large concentrations of shareholdings. There are gaps in the regulations. For example, there's no minority shareholders' approval needed when a company decides to stop doing its core business and start punting the stock market with shareholders' money.
But that must be a red flag, mustn't it, when a company starts doing that? Why should a company be investing in other companies rather than doing its own business?
It was a red flag, and I was able to eventually discover a lot of it and put it on the network. But why don't minority shareholders have a say over this? If you invest in a company, it's usually for a purpose, whether it's running a shop, a chain of shops, or a manufacturing business or something else. It's not so that they can take your money and either punt it in the stock market or lend it to people who are doing that and manipulating the share prices, because a lot of them have set up money lending subsidiaries, and the HKX has been waiving the rule which requires those companies to say who they're lending the money to. There are other regulatory issues that the government needs to address, such as the lack of class action rights for shareholders to seek remedies when these kinds of things happen. The SFC also has some responsibility because it has statutory powers to intervene if it believes that minority shareholders are being oppressed, and it can go to court and petition the court for a remedy, such as a winding up of the company, but it has very rarely done that, and it needs to be more forceful in using those powers to protect shareholders.
But your solution, which is you're saying the Hong Kong Exchange should be stripped of its regulatory
Absolutely.
Powers, I mean, that's a big step, isn't it? Because in the consultation process that we've just had, which did propose the SFC having more power over new listings, that was comprehensively rejected by the financial community
no,
here
wasn't.
In Hong Kong,
wasn't no, it? No, it wasn't. Nearly all investors were in favour of it. A large number of photocopied submissions from broker staff doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. They actually need to go further than what was proposed. What was proposed was a 50-50 arrangement between SFC and HKEX, and I'm saying what you need to do is transfer the whole lot, like the UK has done with the UK Listing Authority, which sits under the Financial Conduct Authority, and like the US has. The SEC regulates listings in the United States. By and large, the stock exchanges have very little to say on the subject, except for market cap criteria for their entry. That is what we need to do if we want to be a world-class financial market and not the cowboy exchange of the East. And that's the image that we're currently projecting with events like the meltdown of the Enigma network.
And I mean, there's proposals to have a third board. Mm. What do you reckon? What do you say about that?
Well,
do you think that's the wrong way forward? Or
I think there's clear evidence from the last 2 days that the existing two boards aren't working. How you can resolve that by creating a third or a fourth board, a sort of toilet board where everything goes and down the pan, is not the solution. What we actually need to do is have a single board. It's confusing enough already. Merge the two boards together, have common standards. I would suggest some things can go, like the profit criteria for listing, because it's up to investors to judge if they want to invest in a loss-making company and not use euphemisms like pre-profit, as the exchange is now doing in its consultation. But other things need to be introduced to the main board from the GEM, such as quarterly financial reporting. And we need to have a harmonious approach to the regulation. So investors have one board at a single regulator, not this current dual filing system. Get the SFC to regulate the whole lot. They will still be subject to oversight and appeal. And that's a better approach.
I mean, this is about ultimately, isn't it, attracting new listings to Hong Kong. And, I mean, Hong Kong has been successful in doing that, albeit not in the sectors really that it wants to be seen to be active in, which is all the new economy-type stocks, although, and Hong Kong is, what, third at the moment in the world.
Well, I don't think you can measure everything in terms of new listings. Every year, the amount of new listings adds maybe 1% or 2% to the total market cap. It's the 98% that's already there that we need to be worried about, and the ongoing regulation of those companies. But we do have some very big technology companies in Hong Kong. The biggest stock in the market is Tencent. Lenovo, the big global computer maker, is also listed here. And there's no reason why good companies that are willing to work on the principles of one share, one vote should not list here. But I think corporate governance is bad enough without introducing second-class shares or non-voting shares into a third board and degrading the ability of investors to act as stewards of companies.
So you think really that the plans that we have at the moment are going in completely the opposite direction? Rather than having more boards, we should have less. Rather than having too many regulators, we should compact that all into one.
It's a naked demonstration of a conflict of interest when the chief executive of a for-profit regulator stands up and says, let's lower the regulations and have just so we can have more listings. That's not going to necessarily improve the quality of the markets. And Hong Kong has enjoyed a sort of prolonged honeymoon as the only international capital market in China that's open, given the capital controls that are still in place in the mainland. But that won't last forever. And where's our competitive advantage when it ends? Where are we going to be if we don't raise our standards when we look at the 30th anniversary of the handover?
Okay, David. Well, good to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you very much for coming in.
That's
David Webb, who is shareholder activist and founder of websites.com.